Chapter 18. The Unmasking. Vass had already snapped her fans open, and she swatted the projectile aside. Cheta saw it bury itself into the grass, and then the attackers were on them. The one who'd thrown something at Vass tried again as he landed, with an equal lack of success, then rushed the rogue trader. Vass turned side on and whipped her right-hand fan upwards, and the assassin stumbled down to his knees with a sheet of red already streaming from the long diagonal cut that had opened across his torso. With the same movement, Vass spun into a crouching, backhanded swirl that dragged the open fan in her left hand across the ribline of another assassin rushing past her. That one fell as well, clutching at her side as half of her core muscles abruptly ceased obeying her brain's commands. There were still two attackers coming, and they were past Vass now, one on either side of her. Cheta met the eyes of the woman bearing down on her and drew back her cane. She'd only get one chance at this. The assassin's face split into a grin as metallic subdermal claws sprouted from her fingertips. They weren't long, but they were long enough to rip Cheta's throat out, and the assassin had already recognized that even Cheta's strongest blow wouldn't be enough to inconvenience her. Cheta thumbed the secret switch on her cane's handle and swung it. The power field erupted into life from the delicate filigree of projection lines that ran through the cane's body just before it made contact with the assassin's ribs. Cheta's right arm was thrown back so hard she felt her shoulder click, and she stumbled from the impact. The assassin was sent flying sideways to land in a stunned heap on the grass just in front of the shocked Izalian Taranthus. Vitariel slapped the Brabantis crest on his left breast and was immediately engulfed in a shimmering field of light as his personal refractor field activated. The last assassin rushed at him, arms wide as though seeking an embrace with a long-lost love, and Vitariel clenched his fist to extend the concealed blade from the vambrace beneath his coat sleeve. There was a thunderous discharge, a flash that seared itself into Cheta's retinas, and a blast of heat so fierce it felt as though a doorway had opened into the fiery netherworld of some primitive religion. Cheta was knocked off her feet by it, and the lush grass was not enough to cushion her fall. Her hip flared with agony, and she cried out as a spasm tore up her spine. She flailed, fighting against her body's demands that she lay still and not move, desperately trying to get back to her feet and regain what limited mobility she could muster. She was too experienced a campaigner to think that the danger had passed. She was correct. As she clawed her way over onto her front, looking to at least get her arms under her and push herself up, she saw the fire eater slow from a running approach to tip something into her mouth and raise the lit taper with her other hand. Four beams of ruby light stabbed out from the rings on Indrinian Vass's right hand. Digilasers, Cheta realized. The damned rogue trader had been wearing 8 fully charged digilasers into every social engagement and punched their way through the woman's torso. She slumped like a puppet with its strings cut. And as she landed on the grass, some of the fluid must have leaked out of her suddenly slack mouth and met the sputtering flame of the taper, because there was another flash and her head exploded. Vass scrambled back to her feet and tapped one of her earrings. Jekri, I need extraction now. Then she snapped her monomolecular edged fans open again and took off the heads of the two assassins she'd previously injured. She followed up by doing the same to the one Cheta had struck. No! Cheta shouted, a moment too late. We need to know who sent them. I'm taking no chances, Vass replied grimly, nodding beyond the woman's body. Cheta finally managed to struggle up, and her heart dropped into her stomach when she saw what the rogue trader was gesturing at. Past where Izalian Taranthus was picking herself up from the ground, wide-eyed and somewhat singed, lay two more bodies. One was barely recognizable as human anymore, since most of the torso was missing. What was left was charred, and the limbs were only loosely attached. The other had never been fully human, but was now certainly fully deceased. No! Cheta shouted again, as the reality of Vitariel's blasted corpse sank in. His refractor field had been overloaded by the explosion, and hadn't saved him. The sheer kinetic force had dismembered his spindly body. Cheta had a sudden flashback to his brother's death, carved apart in front of her by a huge axe, and fought against the sudden pricking in her tear ducts. She couldn't start weeping. Not now. She might still need to see clearly, in order to survive. Governor, Vass barked, are you hurt? I... yes, but... Taranthus floundered, staring around wide-eyed. Other guests were running towards them, far too late to be of any assistance. The whole thing had taken only a few seconds. What? There is a gunship coming, Vass said, apparently deciding that Taranthus wasn't hurt badly enough to be concerned about. It will be taking me away from here. Give whatever orders you must to ensure that it is not challenged in any way. I... you can't talk to me like this, Taranthus retorted, snapping out of his shock. I am the governor of this planet. And I am a rogue trader of the Imperium, who has just foiled an assassination attempt in the middle of the shambles that is your security, Vass sneered at Ver. We can compare the exact powers of our respective authorities later, should you wish to be so foolish. But at this moment, I and my honored allies will be leaving. She leaned into Taranthus's face, and any shadow of the jovial, flighty woman who had curtsied so prettily had disappeared. I strongly suggest that you do not try to stop me. Taranthus swallowed and looked away. As guests reached them, all clustering around the governor and inquiring desperately after Viz's welfare, Taranthus reached to activate Viz'com. My condolences on your loss, Vass said quietly, turning back to Chetta. Once again. Her eyes flicked upwards to the sky immediately afterwards, and Chetta saw the other woman's jaw clench in the first sign of nerves she'd ever displayed. Come on, come on. Chetta leaned on her cane. She felt like she'd been beaten all over with hammers, and her hip had been replaced by a chunk of jagged ice. She was already shaking with the after effects of the adrenaline dump, and she was still reeling from what had just happened. It wasn't that she'd never experienced an attempt on her life before. But here? Do I count as one of your honored allies?
Unless you'd rather stay behind, Vass replied.
She looked over her shoulder at the approaching shape of Kenevario Zudine in his grav chair. Chetta glanced around. The gardens were dissolving into panic as the rich and well-to-do abruptly realized that they weren't safe and that they were surrounded by a mixture of nominal friends and very definite enemies. Guards were coming now, but they'd been too far away to interfere. You couldn't have the proles overhearing the private conversations of their betters, after all. And if someone had got to the entertainers, who could say they hadn't got to the guards as well?
I accept,
Chetta said. Running lights hove into view in the sky above, blinking as the craft banked through the air. She heard the whine of its engines a moment later, just as other guests started to notice it. There were screams, and the general chaos around them increased as most people changed from hurrying towards the disturbance to fleeing from it. Chetta saw Jalamar and Mirandia in the group nearest to the governor. Jalamar was looking up at the sky in slack-jawed shock. Searchlights snapped on, racing over the grass until they lighted on Vass's tall figure. The rogue trader waved, and the craft began to descend vertically. It was a gun cutter, Chetta now saw. An armed shuttle, capable of entering and leaving planetary atmospheres. She briefly wondered exactly what sort of clout Vass had to be able to get one of those flown around Ascension City's airways as she chose. But the answer was fairly obvious. No one who'd be concerned about it had the sort of standing necessary to challenge a rogue trader on exactly what right she had. The downdraft was so powerful that Chetta began to wobble where she stood, and it was only Vass's firm grip on her left shoulder that kept her properly upright. The noise was incredible as well, but just as the whining howl got so loud Chetta thought her ears were going to explode, the engines died down and the gun cutter settled onto its landing skids.
Everyone out, Chetta heard Vass say through the ringing in her ears. We need to clear up.
The boarding ramp descended, and four figures emerged with a variety of gaits. First came Fel, the big ex-guardsman with a bionic arm, striding out with a face like thunder and wielding a bolter flamer in the middle of the governor's palace as though he were disembarking into a war zone. Next came an equally large man in ornate carapace armor that had been colored a regal dark blue and bore crossed golden swords on the breastplate. He had a storm shield strapped to his left arm and a long power blade belted on his left hip. Behind him was the small red-robed shape of Seth, the engine seer who'd been with Fel at Azariel's wake. Finally came a bald, bearded man in the robes of a sanctioned psyker, carrying what looked to be a force staff.
Get the bodies inside,
Vass ordered with a snap of her fingers, and her minions hurried to obey. She looked past Chetta as Kenevario Zudine arrived.
the smooth movements of his throne strangely at odds with the human jerkiness on display everywhere else.
My lord, we are taking our leave. Travelling with you is never dull, my lady,
Zudyne remarked in his leaden voice. Then his face fell in shock, as Fael bustled past, with Vitariel's upper body clutched in his arms.
Throne of Terror. Lady Brabantis, I am so very sorry. You have my
I neither want nor need your condolences, Chetta snapped, turning her face away as Seth struggled past her with the rest of her brother-in-law's body.
By the Astronomicon, Vass, would it kill your men to show some respect?
Possibly, Vass replied, looking over her shoulder again. She was checking the perimeter. Chetta realized through her anger, Vass still didn't feel safe.
Respect can wait until we're away from here.
You can't take them,
Taranthus shouted, as the man in carapace began hauling an assassin's corpse up the boarding ramp, although he didn't make any move herself to stop him.
I demand to inspect the bodies. I killed them, I keep them,
Vass retorted. She surveyed the area of the short-lived fight once more, then nodded.
We're done here. Everyone on board.
She half turned to look down at Chetta.
If you still wish to come, my lady.
Chetta wavered, but she had no real options. Vitariel's body was on board the Guncutter, and to stay would leave her alone. Taranthus wasn't looking too pleased either, and his recent promise of indiscriminate retribution for any hostilities was still fresh in Chetta's memory. I'm coming, she said, forcing herself up the ramp and staring lasbolts at the back of Zudyne's grav chair as he glided up in front of her. The Guncutter's main hold was a well-ordered place, even as Vass's men broke out corpse webbing to wrap the bodies in. It was neat, almost sterile. There was an old adage that a person's own space was a reflection of their mind, and if that held any water, then the Indrinian Vass who'd surfaced in the moments of the attack was a far truer person than the one Chetta had met before. Chetta turned, wincing, to face Vass as the other woman reached the top of the ramp and slapped the control to close it behind her.
Take us up, Jekri,
Vass declared into her earring, which was clearly a disguised combead. She looked at Chetta as she continued instructing her pilot.
Take us to the Brabantis Palace.
Something snapped inside Chetta as the Guncutter lurched upwards.
No!
Vass raised an eyebrow.
No?
Behind her, Chetta heard the soft sounds of bodies being wrapped in fabric come to a halt. She was on the edge of she knew not what. But she was tired and upset and angry and in pain and completely past caring.
You are not setting foot inside my family's home again until I get some answers,
Chetta declared, glaring up at Vass.
This is curious gratitude for saving your life,
Vass remarked.
I saved my life, Chetta snorted. You saved your own and didn't act fast enough to save Vitar. I owe you nothing for that.
The corner of Vass's mouth twitched, but the rest of her face gave no clue at all as to her feelings.
Very well. What answers do you think you're entitled to?
Vass had dropped all honorifics, Chetta realized. There were no my ladies, no Lady Brabantis. They were past the dance of courtly politeness and into something new altogether. She just had to hope she knew enough of the steps. I sent out some messages via our astropathic choir the night after I first met you, Chetta declared, sticking her chin out, to a contact of mine who sits rather high up in the administratum in the Exiniad sector. And last night, I received a reply. Vass's face gave nothing away, but that, in and of itself, told Chetta something. The rogue trader was waiting for the next sentence before she responded, which meant she wasn't fully at ease with where the conversation was going. I'm sure you're aware how hard it is to get a clear message through the warp, Chetta continued. Even the best astropaths struggle at times. But please believe me when I say that House Brabantis has the resources to get the very best. The question I asked was not a complex one, and the reply was simple. I can be absolutely certain when I tell you this. According to my source, who has access to all the records they would need to answer my query, no new rogue traders have been created in the Exiniad sector for the past 20 years, as Terra measures it. Deathly silence filled the hold, save for the thrumming whine of the craft's engines. In fact, Chetta continued, there are no rogue traders by the name of Vass at all based in the Exiniad sector. and so far as I can tell, there never have been. She winced as her hip and back complained at her, but gritted her teeth and remained standing. What there have been are quite a few deaths that I'm aware of in Ascension City that roughly coincide with your arrival on Vorlisi. Most recently, that of my brother-in-law. So, my lady, can you give me one good reason why I shouldn't inform Governor Taranthus that the arrogant rogue trader who just called down her armed transport into the middle of Viz Palace is in fact nothing of the sort? Vass said nothing for a few long seconds. Then she raised her eyebrows and pursed her lips. Well, the one that first springs to mind is that you are very much alone here, with my crew and me.
Pah! Chetta spat. Firstly, every noble worth a damn on this planet saw me get into this craft with you. They don't all have my best interests at heart, I'll grant you. But if I don't return home, then the culprits couldn't be more obvious. And secondly, I'd already set down what I knew before I went to the party. If I don't return, my factors have instructions to deliver messages to Governor Taranthus, Judge Arctos, and certain other notables. Vass nodded slowly.
I knew you were intelligent and resourceful, Lady Brabantis, but it seems that I still underestimated you. That's a shame. I do hate being wrong about someone.
She raised her left hand between them, and with the other, reached towards the ring on her middle finger.
Killing me with a digi-laser won't make what I know go away, Chetta warned her.
But Vass just chuckled.
Chetta, you have no idea what I can make go away, if I want to.
She twisted the setting of the ring, and the gem within began to glow. However, instead of discharging a one-shot blast of supercharged light, such as had slain the fire-eating assassin, it sent up a flickering light display, a revolving hololith of a three-barred capital I.
Tetamande Brabantis,
Vass said. Her voice seemed to come from a long way away. Chetta was staring at the hololith, in horror, transfixed.
The reason you could find no mention of rogue trader in Drinian Vass is because the woman is a total fiction. Please allow me to introduce myself. My name is Zaretta Nagiri, and I am a loyal member of His Divine Majesty's Holy Inquisition.